the lifting of your hands, come and adore the name of the Father. For making a life so brand new. Oh, oh, oh.
Wherever you are, go ahead and lift your hands this evening to the Father of love, who loves us so much and is precious to us. Go ahead and worship Him for every good thing He has done for us in Christ Jesus. He deserves the lifting of our hands. It's like an evening sacrifice, smelling sweetly to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. Kinanamande yedede satayalamande. Sheyalamande. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, I thank you for your blood. Precious Jesus, oh Lord, I thank you for your body broken for me. I need somebody to drink it with a grateful heart. Yeah, precious Jesus, I thank you for your blood. Precious Jesus, I thank you for your body broken for me. Oh Lord, I remember all you've done for me, Lord. Your perfect sacrifice and victory. I remember all you've done for me, oh my God. I worship you today. I worship you today. I remember all you've done for me, oh Lord. Your perfect sacrifice and victory, yeah. I remember all you've done for me, oh my God. I worship you today. I worship you today. Lift your voice, sing, I worship you today, every day, every hour, Lord. I worship you today, Lord. I worship you today. I worship you. That's what we declare. I remember all you've done for me, oh Lord. Your perfect sacrifice and victory, oh. I remember all you've done for me, oh my God. We worship you today. Is there a worshiper wherever you are? Sing, I worship you today. With the lifting of my hands, I worship you today, Lord. I worship you today. Lift your voice and declare, I worship you today. I worship you today. I worship you today. I worship you today. Oh, I worship you grateful, I lift your voice and declare. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. He paid the perfect sacrifice once and for all. It was a perfect one for you and I. He shed his blood for us. Oh, malade yana no shataya la mandi. Nothing else required. We receive it by faith. We have walked in it by grace. Mashallah, sidaya la mandi ande de 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 de. Herein is our love perfected in the sacrifice of Christ. Yaliande, I worship you today. You are good and kind. Lift your voice, yes, I worship you. Is a victory won, Lord, yeah. I remember all for me. Oh, Lord, I worship you today. I worship you. Come on, somebody, go ahead and worship your Father. Worship your Father with your own words. Oh, my nation, with the lifting of our hands, Father, we worship. Woo! Woo! Nothing else we can do but worship. Your hands be like an evening sacrifice. It is acceptable before Him. Lift your hands and worship the Father. Song every year, I worship you. You can declare it one more time. I remember all you've done. It's not so much for you. You can declare your worship. His perfect sacrifice in victory. Yeah. I remember all you've done for me. I worship you today. I worship you. Come on. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Come on. Proclaim me, Lord, you reign. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim me, Lord, you reign. Everywhere you are, come on, declare it. Oh, Lord, with a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim me, Lord, you reign. One more time. With a grateful heart, with a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim me, Lord, you reign. Great are you, Lord, greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Everywhere you're singing. Great are you, Lord, greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, everybody declare, great are you, Lord, greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, Father, you reign, great. You, Lord, greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, you reign, great are you, Lord, greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, you reign, great are you, Lord, greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. Father, everybody declare great. Yelalamande yano shate yelelele sata yalaba. You reign forevermore. You reign forevermore. In our lives you reign, Jesus. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Ready to be praised. You reign, great are you, Lord. Ready to be praised. Shalalamanea. You reign. Yes, you reign. Always you reign. In our lives, you reign, Jesus. You reign in our fears, oh God. That is why we cannot be moved. That is why we cannot be shaken. Because we look unto you. You hold us by your hand. You reign in our fears every day, no matter what rises against us. Our faith stands secure. He reigns for us. He reigns in our lives. He reigns in every way. Therefore, nothing can ever get us down. Ramana nene shediande. Come on, somebody, let me rise in faith this evening. Wherever you are, we have a good, good Father. Ooh.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You're welcome to the Wednesday evening service. I would like to believe that your week has been quite exceptional. For those of you watching on Facebook, you're welcome. Those of you listening on Spreaker, it's great to have you here all the time. And I mean, it's just exciting. All right. So, tonight I want to talk about basic principles of faith. I won't exhaust it. Just a few things that I feel we need to look into or dealing with faith this month, but there's need for some sort of a twitch, in the course of action. So, hey, basic principles, all right, of faith. Certain things we need to understand, because we keep hearing faith, all right? But question is, how the series, all right, the church series, has it been for you? What have you learned? Because it's not enough to hear a teaching, all right? Most times we say, oh, I was blessed. But James tells us that it's the doer that is blessed. Okay, so we talk about faith, talk about using authority, the place of prayer, walking by faith, hearing from God. So have you done that? So in the last, 24 hours, you know, we learned Wednesday and then yesterday, deal with thoughts, all right? Take authority over thoughts, cast down imaginations. Have you done that? Because if we hear it and then we say we're blessed and then we do nothing about it, we're not as blessed as we should be. If you get this point, please understand this thing. Yeah, Ephesians 1:3 says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That blessing, all right, that we have received in Christ is now communicated to us through teaching. It's the more you know the word and what's available for you in Christ, the more you can enjoy that blessing that is yours. Now, that word you hear, you have to act on it. Do you understand? You have to act on it to fully enter into the blessing. So, for instance, if the Bible says you resist the devil, he will flee from you, all right? You heard it, it blessed you, all right? It increased your Bible knowledge. You now know, all right, Peter said it, James said it, all right? Paul said, give no place to the devil. You could even maybe make reference to the areas in the Bible where they are. However, you haven't now resisted the devil intentionally or maybe deliberately. You still haven't done that. Then, you're not going to walk in the blessing, all right, of your authority where the devil is concerned. However, you're blessed. It's part of your blessing. You're blessed with that authority in Christ, but you're not going to walk in it. So it's the doer, James says, that is blessed, not hearers, all right? So he says, be doers of the word and not hearers alone, deceiving your own self. So if we just hear, all right, and don't do, we deceive ourselves. Someone says, okay, maybe it's better for me not to hear. Let me not hear. Don't bother tell me anything. We're still not going to do you any good because you would now completely be ignorant of what's available for you. And don't forget, we're already told, you know, Isaiah, that my people perish because they lack knowledge. So if you don't hear at all, you will lack knowledge. If you hear and you don't do, okay, you would not walk in the fullness of the blessing that is yours. So I would love to encourage you, please, all right, please, and please, all right, walk in the reality of the things being taught. We, months ago, talked about love, all right? So, are you doing anything about it? Are you walking in love, all right? Are you endeavoring to forgive someone by faith, reach out to someone who's hurt you, giving someone, you know, benefit of doubt, all right? Say sorry to someone you might have hurt, or even someone you know hurt you. Are you taking steps intentionally? It's not enough to learn these things. Please. All right, because at the end of the day, we're going to account for all the things we learn. All right, we're going to account for it. You have to justify the things you're learning. You have to put them to work. You've got to. All right, you've got to justify the things you learn. Put them to work. You say, I learned that. I did that. I learned that. All right, don't forget, James again says, all right, be doers of the word, not hearers alone, deceiving your own selves. So it will count against you that you're deceiving yourself when you don't act on what you know. Right, to him that know what to do and does it not, to him it is sin. So if I know that this is what I'm supposed to do, right, I shouldn't allow, you know, because sin, you know, is not just the things we've labeled, all right, either by society or even that are obvious in scripture. Scripture, all right, also said, if you know what to do and you don't do, all right, to that person also, it's sin. So you and I have got to come into practical understanding. Okay, practical reality of I must exercise myself spiritually. I must give attention to the things I learn. I must act on them deliberately. And thereby we grow. God wants us to grow, all right? There are too many babies in the body of Christ. Too many of us are allowing our flesh, all right, our bodies, that is, our, you know, fleshly desires. We allow them rule us, run us. At what point do you tell yourself, okay, I've watched enough of that, or I've heard enough of that, I'm not supposed to. At what point? But if those cravings and those yearnings are the things that will continually just keep pulling at us and pulling at us and pulling at us, if those are the things, you know, and then, it means you're not giving your spirit right of way. So, basic principles of faith, all right? So, Paul writes to the Roman church. Let me just switch to King James. All right. So, Paul writes to the Roman church in Romans chapter 10. All right. We know the 17th verse. So, I'm going to just kick off from that very familiar place. So, Romans 10 and 17. Paul clearly says here, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then, faith comes by hearing. All right. Hearing by the word of God. So, someone says, hey, I know it. I know you do. All right. I know you do, but let's just back up to maybe like the 8th verse of Romans, all right, chapter 10, all right? So, Romans 10, 8, it says, but what saith it, all right? Let me pick it from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, all right? The righteousness that is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart who would descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ, all right, down from above, or who would ascend into the who would ascend to heaven, forgive me. Say not in your heart who will ascend up to heaven, that mouth, that is a word of faith. Don't say who's going to bring help from heaven, all right, for us. Who's going to, all right. No, Jesus has already resurrected and Jesus has already, you know, ascended. He's already seen that. So you don't say, I wish it was resurrecting. He's done that already. So he says the word. So what do I do? You need to understand that all you need is available in the word. So the word is near you. It's in your heart, in your mouth, and that's the word of faith which we preach. That's verse 8. 9 says that if you will confess with your heart, the mouth, the Lord Jesus, and will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, basic principle of faith. You have to understand that all that God will do, God has done. So, nobody's going to go down to hell to bring Christ up. He's not there. Nobody's going to heaven and pull Christ down. He's seated, and he's going to be there. So, but he's made available everything you and I need. And that has been communicated to us through the riches of his word of grace. You understand? It's been communicated to us. So you and I have to now realize what verse 8 is saying here. Your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Man believed unto righteousness, all right, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. So something as important as salvation is basically sorted by heart and mouth. I'll say that again. Something as important as getting born again is sorted by heart and mouth. If being born again is sorted by heart and mouth, you've got to understand this as a basic principle of faith. If being born again is sorted by heart and mouth, there's nothing you would desire that won't be sorted or can't be sorted by heart and mouth. Would that be the end of it all? No, but it plays a major role in everything. Please understand the basic principle of faith. You believe with the heart, you say with the mouth. I'll take verse 8 to 10 again. All right, reading the King James. But what saith it? All right, he's saying you don't say who will go to hell to bring Christ up or who will go to heaven pulling down. You don't say that. So the righteousness of faith will not say that. So what do you say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is available already to you. The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Heart, mouth. Verse 10. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Allow me read the 3 verses again. Heart, mouth. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. Heart, mouth, mouth, heart. Heart, mouth, mouth, heart. Again, verse 8. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Confession is made, and salvation there, right? The Greek word used here is a fuller, all right, context. It's not just getting born again alone. It deals with your deliverance, your well-being, your welfare, your healing. I mean, this is available for you in salvation. All right. So when you say, oh, I have been saved, it's not just I'm on my way to heaven when I die, but I can have a ugly time on earth no matter what. No, it is I have now been, Colossians chapter 1, delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I have been saved. I have been rescued. I have been delivered. So with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance. With the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made. So you don't just believe with the heart. You believe with the heart and say with the mouth. You don't just believe. You believe, you say. You don't just believe. You believe, you say. You've got to get this. You've got to get this. Oh, so I require healing in my body. Believe. Say. So question is, what do you believe? I believe that by his stripes I've been healed. I believe he took my sicknesses. I believe. So you believe, then you say. The basic principle of faith. Heart, mouth. Heart, mouth. Heart, mouth. Because many times, you know, we catch ourselves saying the wrong thing. And please understand that you are therefore releasing some level of authority or power, all right, with the things you say. When you say, oh, I just don't know why my life is just this messed up, all right, I just don't know why things are this confusing. Now, if you say that and then, like I keep saying, you put the but in the right place, I mean, I don't understand why things seem confusing, but I believe that the light of God is, I mean, whatever I do to neutralize, listen, not because of the hearer. Very many times, all right, we believers seem more conscious of who is hearing us than to the mountain we're speaking to. All right. So you want to say the right thing because some Christian brother or some Christian sister is around. You want to say the right thing so that they will not say you're speaking doubt, but that's really what you want to say. Just, you know, if only they were just not there and they won't hear you to quote you. You just want to say what you want to say. I mean, they should leave you alone. You know, and all of that, it just goes to show you've not come to understand or come to terms with the basic operation of faith. It's not about anybody. Because, listen, if you say something from your mouth and they hear you, but your heart is not in it, it won't happen. So you've only satisfied them. You didn't speak to the mountain. You didn't move any situation. You didn't say anything. You just said something. You won't do that for yourself. You're not helping if you do that. All right? Then all you're just doing is feel good with people. And that's a very, very, very dangerous place to be. Remember how King Saul got into trouble? The people. All right? Samuel gave him one instruction. He said, well, the people suggested otherwise. And then he followed the people, and then followed the people, and God said, no, if this king will do what people said, and I said, he shouldn't bother being king. All right. So there's just something with you and I understanding this, you know, having this in mind. All right. It's not, if I talk now, they will say I'm being carnal. No, it's not when you talk. You gauge yourself. Who is talking through you? Your flesh. All right. Your unrenewed mind. Or the Spirit of God. Who's talking? It's not until anybody, you should know enough word. I mean, you've been in SLC, I assume, right? A little bit, all right? You should know enough word now, a little bit of word, at least to say, this is my flesh talking. This is my flesh. If I say I'm not going to forgive that person, they'll say I'm carnal. Forget the people. You come to God's word and then tell the word, I'm not going to forgive. And then let the word talk to you. For a minute in your life, leave the people out. All right? Because at the end of the day, you find many Christians coming up with, I've just lived my life for people. I've lived my life for myself. I've lived my life for people, for people, for people, for people. A few things say about that, and all right? But one of it is this. Number one, the love life is a sacrificial life. All right? Jesus said, there's no greater love than this, than for a man to lay down his life for friends. So, the love life is a sacrificial life. He said again also, the good shepherd will lay down his life for sheep. And then Paul now says that just as Christ forgave us, so we should forgive. It's sacrificial. Please understand this. It's sacrificial. So when you say, oh, I've given my time and myself to people, it is expected of you. Should you now do that at the detriment of your own, should I say, peace of mind or happiness or whatever? Let the Holy Ghost reveal to you how well you should, you know, maybe better relate with yourself and with those people, and how well you might need to now know. Don't let it be from your flesh. Don't let it be from reaction. Don't let it be, I'm tired. No, if you, that means you'll be coming not out of love. All right? That won't be love. That's you reacting. All right? In the negative. Not you reacting in the positive. Not you coming out with, I feel impressed by the Spirit of God. All right? To pull out of that thing. Not, I don't even like the way they're doing it. I'm going to, you know, you might make a wrong decision or hurt things worse than it should be. You're reacting. Your flesh is fine expression. If you check Galatians chapter 5, then you see, all right, the works of the flesh. And then you see there that there's anger, then there's malice, there's this division, all right, there's sedition. You check and you see, oh, am I walking in this? If I am, then I shouldn't do that. Don't make lifelong decisions based on fleshy things. Get out of that mode. All right. Basic principles of faith. And I'm saying this because over the years, all right, I remember back then on campus, there's this, you know, precious lady. All right. And she just, you know, health wise wasn't too okay. And she had been saying the right thing, really. I just felt I should spend a bit more time with her. Great, great lady. All right. Spend a bit more time with her. But over time of just, you know, asking her a few questions, I guess she couldn't hold it anymore. She just blotted out her hurts and her pain. It hurts. I've been trying to say the right thing. I've been trying to, and I guess that's why the Holy Ghost just had me engage her a little more. You know, because usually when someone just says the right thing, you just walk around like, oh, she's fine. Oh, he's fine. Oh, at least they're in charge. They're in control. Their words are, you know, they're saying the right thing. But the Holy Ghost, I believe, just had me engage her a little more. And then it came out. Now, some don't come out in public. They come out in private. And that's why I believe there's a need for you and I to really, please look again at this basic principle of faith. Heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. Please get this. Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Meaning there's what to believe, there's what to confess. Please get that. There's what to believe, there's what to confess. Because most believers don't seem to know what to even confess. So what do I say? Question is, what do you believe? Because what you say is actually what you believe. Say what you believe. Do you believe everything will be okay? I do. Say it. Keep saying it. Do you believe this ugly situation is going to turn around for your good? Oh, yes, I do. Then say it. Say it. It's a heart and mouth connection. The reason why a number of people are not born again is they've just not used this heart and mouth connection. Sometimes you tell them what Jesus has done and then you just feel, I don't think I'm good enough for this thing you're telling me. I don't think so, all right? Maybe when I can really live a good life, I'll come back and then they just don't accept all that Jesus has provided for them. Some now say, well, you know, I don't even believe there's a Jesus. Whatever it is, it's just that, and you cannot, please understand this. Don't just get people to mouth it. Right. Just say after me, Jesus, I believe in you. No. Be careful there. It's a heart and a mouth connection. They must believe something in their hearts. There ought to be what they believe. Please understand this. There ought to be what they believe. And then they say what they believe. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. It's a heart and a mouth connection. Basic principle of faith. All right. So we'll just read a bit more down the line. So Paul is, you know, now giving the importance of hearing God's word, but core context here, getting born again. But really the word used is salvation, which is beyond just getting immediately born again. Now being born again is more actually than what we've used it for. Just, okay, now I'm born again. What's next? No. The moment you got born again, you got radically shifted and transformed and you were brought into a new family. Everything just changed about you. That's big. So, I'll pick from 10 and then we'll read down. All right? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. The heart man believes, the mouth confession is made. For the scripture says, all right, or for the scripture saith, King James, all right, whoever believes, I've switched, you know, whoever believes on him will not be ashamed. For there is no difference, and this is beautiful, between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that calls upon him. Don't feel, oh, God loves this person more than me. God loves that person more than me. There's no difference. There's no difference. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All right. So 13 says, for whoever calls, all right, just what I just said. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, watch from 14 now. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? All right. How then shall they call upon him? So don't just get maybe your Muslim friend or something. Don't just say after me. Say after me, Joe. Say after me, whether I believe it or not. Just say, no, you break scripture. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? It's a heart and a mouth connection. They must believe in the heart, say with their mouth. Don't just say, well, she has confessed Jesus as Lord. I believe she's born again now. So she's now my certified girlfriend. At least now my girlfriend's not born again. No, she has to believe in her heart, all right, and then confess with the mouth, all right. Not believe in your Jesus, believe in Jesus, all right. Hope you understand this, all right. So how would they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? So there's importance of hearing the word such that the person can believe the word. Are you getting that? So verse 15 says, how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and, you know, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, I'll take that again. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the person who will believe on him must have heard. You saw that there. All right. How would they believe if they don't hear? How would they hear without a preacher? So you've got to hear. Now, having been born again, which I believe every viewer or listener would be, all right, having been born again, and if you're not, it's the heart and mouth connection. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus came and he died for you? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? Then you confess him as Lord. That's what you do. Simple. That's simple. Oh, but I believe. Yes. Confess it. Jesus, I call you Lord over my life. Look at verse 9 and 10 again. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or confess him as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So you believe, all right? And then you confess with the heart, man believes. So he's saying faith will come by hearing. The reason why many of us are weak in the area of health, and then sickness and symptoms seem to ravage us while we know God's word, is that we have reduced the intensity of what we've heard. The thing we've heard will do us a lot more good when we fill our hearts with it. Paul was writing to the Hebrew church. Now it's argued over who wrote the book of Hebrews, but we could just stay with the fact that it's Paul. And then he said, if they don't give heed to the things they have heard, it will slip away. Truth slips away. Please, maybe I'll say that two more times. Truth slips away. Truth slips away. You could be strong on a truth some time ago, and then you do not consistently refresh yourself, and then you wonder why your faith isn't working for you now like it worked back then. You might have allowed something slip. I learned something from Ken Hagin many, many years ago. He said he feeds along the lines of faith and healing every day. Guys, that's a lot. He feeds along the lines of faith and healing every day. All right. Even when he was a traveling preacher, even if it's a chapter in a book or something, he would read something. So because if you want your faith to be strong on something, that means you want your belief system to be strong in that area. It means you have to keep hearing. They cannot believe on whom they have not heard. You've got to hear. You've got to hear. You've got to hear. Please get this. All right. You hear. It enforces your belief system, and that empowers your confession or the declaration that comes out of your mouth. It's a heart and a mouth confession. Guys, what we're learning again is the basic principles of faith. Let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians, all right? The second chapter of Corinthians. Paul was speaking then, second book, rather, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the 13th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe. Therefore have I spoken, we also believe, therefore speak." Basic principle of faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, therefore speak. I'll say it one more time. I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, therefore speak. Once again, like I said earlier, someone says, "So what do I say?" That question would not be necessary if the question is answered on "What do you believe?" Because what you say should be what you believe. You are just to say what you believe. So in that crisis you're facing, what do you believe? Say, all right? In that financial situation going on, what do you believe? Say it. Where your health is concerned, what do you believe? Say it. Whatever it is you believe. Whatever it is you believe, you've got to say it. You've got to say it. You've got to say it. So let's go, of course, over to what now? Our text. All right, the word of faith, word text, right? Mark 11 and 23. Please hope you notice the heart and mouth confession. Mark 11, 23, or connection rather. Heart-mouth connection. Mark 11, 23, and Jesus answered. 22, Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God." Now, you don't tell a believer to have faith because he already has faith. I'll touch that hopefully very soon. We got born again by faith. Ephesians 2 says, "By grace are you saved through faith." By grace are you saved through faith. All right, so I'm already just starting to touch it right now. By grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith. So you got born again by faith. Romans 10, faith comes by hearing. So you heard, faith came, you got born again. All right, so you got born again by faith. So that when you got born again, that faith was not taken away from you. All right, so you have Romans 10 telling you faith comes by hearing. So that shows you the faith with which you got born again. You heard it, it was there. All right. Ephesians chapter 2:8, I just made reference to right now. All right, by grace are you saved through faith. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So that faith is already inside of you. Okay, and Romans 12 and the third verse, Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3, the last one I made reference to is Galatians 2:20. Romans 12:3 says, Paul was writing, he said, "As God has granted him grace," all right, "as speaks to every one of us, not to be high-minded, all right, but to just dwell according as God has given to every one of us the measure of faith." Don't be high-minded, but live, operate, function as God has given to everyone the measure. So God gave every, so issue now is, to what degree are you using your own measure of faith? But God gave us a measure of faith. Please understand that. God gave every one of us a measure of faith. So some might have developed his more or hers more. So don't feel where God loves her more, God gave her special faith. No, everybody, listen, even every great minister of the gospel that you know today, they spent time. I've had people ask over the years, how come when I pray for people, right, they get answers to their prayers faster? And then for me, I sometimes even get answers to my own prayer. You might have been praying by an anointing on you that you're not even aware of. All right. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's anointed me. All right. So the anointing on us to function, to be a blessing to people. All right. There might have been a gift of the Spirit operating at that time you were praying for those people, and it happened. But for yourself, you have to come back home and sit down and develop your faith. And it looks like, why are healing evangelists having sicknesses? All right, because they minister to those people by an anointing. It's not that anointing that will heal them. All right, they'll be healed like every other believer by faith, or another believer ministering to them or something. All right, so it's just not automatic of, you're anointed with a healing anointing, so you can never be sick. No, you're not falling sick. It's now a result of the use of your own individual faith. And Romans 12 verse 3 says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You need to understand this basic principle of faith. We all have faith. Right? Most important thing is not what you do with it. In a number of cases when Jesus was on the earth, you hear him say, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. And one thing that can never be denied is the operation of faith. All right, I'll give you two instances. Number one, the woman with the issue of blood. By law, she wasn't supposed to be in public. By law, she was supposed to come around that crowd and try to even move close to anybody, not to even talk of her getting close to Jesus. By law. But Bible said she kept saying to herself, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. That hearing and hearing and hearing drove her, all right, to go against, all right, the law that might have killed her if she was caught. All right, and then she pushed through and she got healed. She got healed. Listen, Jesus wasn't even aware when she got healed. What I mean is, he wasn't saying, okay, you're about to touch me now. Let me take a deep breath in. Okay, are you ready? So when I just exhale, then you touch. Or maybe when I inhale, it wasn't an intentional transaction. It wasn't an obvious. It wasn't, oh, someone's about to touch me right now. Let me just stop so that she can catch up with me. He was moving on his way to Jairus' house, and the woman had a catch up. Pressed through the crowd and touched. It was when she touched that virtue flowed out of him and he said, oh, someone touched me. So it wasn't an intentional or a conscious transaction. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. All right. And then she was already trying to sneak away after receiving her healing. She healed. She shares a testimony. She's healed. And then Jesus said, daughter, your faith. It was your faith that did this. And every one of us need to understand that this faith God gave us is his kind of faith that can move mountains. So no matter what it is, you're going through that faith. Even if the people all around you say it can't be done, your faith can make it happen. Your faith can make it happen. Your faith can make it happen. All right? Second case in point, blind Bartimaeus. Jesus was passing by. He's heard about Jesus. And please note, the woman with the issue of blood had heard. Jairus had heard. You can't take away the place of hearing when it comes to operating your faith. And if what you hear more would be who's dying from a particular ailment, who's dying from a particular disease, who's dying. And what I mean is, you know, maybe, you went to the hospital, the doctor said XYZ, you told a friend, my aunt died of that thing like 3 years ago. In fact, my uncle is being hospitalized. You know, and then if you hear more of that, it affects you. And maybe right now, you know, you're a health worker and then you're out there or you've had family members involved in, you know, maybe coronavirus or something, always get back home and play more word. If not, your mind will be filled with fear and caution and this thing just, you know, fear is fear. Fear is fear. I've personally heard of a case where this person hardly interacted with anybody, all right? Just stayed in front of the TV, basically just stayed at home and still was positive. So how do you explain that? You know, like someone was saying, but I said, well, Maybe the person just heard too much news and just got afraid until, because listen, the way faith attracts the power of God, fear attracts the power of the devil. And every child of God has to understand these basic principles of faith. All right? The woman of issue of blood, she believed and it pulled power from Jesus, even when Jesus did not intentionally release the power. All right? So that means where you are right now, you can release your faith and believe you receive and it will pull the power of God in your direction, whether favor, whether wisdom, whatever it is you need. The same way fear now attracts the power of the enemy. And many believers do not know that what they did for with the heart, which is Jesus' attention, you know, tells him to come. And then the same people said, oh, he's calling you. Listen, no matter who, and like I said at the beginning of this teaching tonight, don't say, they will say, I said the wrong. No, you, listen, I said something like, was it 2 weeks ago? The mountain knows when you're serious. All right? We see that, you know, already in Mark 11. The mountain knows when you're serious. So they say, but I spoke to the mountain. It's not moving. Face that mountain and keep talking to it. The mountain knows who's serious and who's not serious. The mountain knows when you're not talking to it. Or you're just talking to your friend, behaving like you're talking to it. So your friend can know you're still trying to sound spiritual, but you're afraid inside. And you, listen, you can't mock God. You know you can't. So really get away from this, the people thing. So thank God blind Bartimaeus wasn't moved by the people. Thank God the woman with issue of blood wasn't moved by the people. Thank God the man that was paralyzed, whose four friends opened the roof, all right, the tiling and let him down, were not moved by what the people would say. They were full of their faith and kept going at it. kept going at it. So what is it you desire? Come to the word. Basic principle of faith now. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So you come to God's word. You feed yourself. Sometimes you take a while. Before you rush out to want to release your faith, take a while and feed yourself with God's word. I beg you. Take a while and feed yourself again and again. Hallelujah. Again and again. Hallelujah. Feed yourself with the word of God. Take a while. Take a moment. Keep developing yourself in the things of the spirit. Take a while. Feed. And then you find that overflow of your faith. Find the expression. You see that overflow of your faith just bust out. So what is it? What is it? All right. That you desire a miracle in? Do you have a verse for it? All right. How would they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How would they hear without a preacher? In our own case, how do we believe on what we have not heard? How would we hear if we don't play a tape, read the verse, study a book, read the Bible? How, guys? How? So you and I have got to go. What does the word say about this situation? What does the word say? You go to the word. Hey, but I'm tired. I'm applying the word. Listen, everybody comes up with this I'm tired line. All right? But the word knows who really tried applying it. And applying the word is not try. See if it will work for 3 days. No. See if it will work for 3 months. No. I remember also many, many years ago, right? A lady wasn't feeling well, so I ministered to her and then she got better. So I shared with her, you know, the power of meditation. And then she left me, or I left where she was, you know. 5 minutes later, she just came skipping and hopping, you know, to where I was talking to some other people. And then I'm like, are you done? She's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm like, no, you can't be done. I'm sure she must have wondered, why is he talking like that? Because I understand meditation. Listen, when you get healed, especially some ministers, you get healed, you didn't get healed by operating your own faith. So when the symptoms hit at you some other time, because you didn't receive your healing by operating your own faith, you might not know exactly how to stand against it next time. So that's what I was helping out with. Listen, I know you're better now. Go stay with the word. Stay with it. All right? Sometimes the thing relapses. Now, not because the word didn't take it away. So it's just, you know, your body's still adjusting. And then the next day again, it fires back on you. But all through, when the pain or symptoms left you, you just went gallivanting, watched movies, played around. You didn't load up. So when the symptoms rushed back on you, you were not prepared. You were like caught off guard. And that's the mistake very many believers make. They just want to throw it and say, well, someone's going to pray for me. Someone's going to lay hands on me. Someone's going to minister to me. Then I'm going to be fine. Then I'm going to be healed. Then I'm going to be okay. No. Listen, make up your mind. If it will cost me my life, I'm going to stand on this word. And it won't cost you your life. But the issue is, we're not that aggressive. Have you ever stayed with the word 6 months, 8 months? And please, hear me, please. Like, you could time 2-3 hours, 1 hour, every day. 8 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. People have done that and have seen miracles. You know? But we got to say, well, but I've been confessing the word. And if you now try to time yourself, realize I only said this in like 2 minutes today, maybe 8 minutes yesterday, maybe 15 minutes the day before that. Maybe one day I was really like pumped up. I did like 45 minutes. But that was your highest in the last like 4 weeks. And then you say, every day I was speaking the word. Every day. No, every day you have not. The word knows you haven't. God told Joshua, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. The heart and mouth connection. Because he keeps saying it in his mouth. He keeps looking at it and entering his heart. It's heart and mouth. Psalm 1. Blesses man that walks on the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In that law he meditates day and night. All right? His delight in him is feeding it into his heart. All right? He will be like a tree. He's feeding it. He's saying it. So we love the benefits. You stay. You sit. You sit. Listen, I know it's not comfortable to stay 1 hour with the word every day, but if it needs to be done, it has to be done. I know it's not comfortable to stay 3 hours with the word every day, but if it needs to be done, it has to be done. Very, very many Christians move from one hospital to the next and one hospital. And then you know, can you please Try, if you have anyone of such, I know it's not always easy. There's a story by Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans. I know a couple of years ago, there's this health food, a devotional health food, all right, by Reverend Hagen. All right, we photocopied, you know, about 4 pages of this Dr. Yeoman's story from it that he shared. And that's the fact that Dr. Yeoman was a medical doctor, and then she moved, all right, into divine healing, all right, because she was healed, all right. She got influenced by certain things, you know, affected. She got high, addicted to on drugs, and her whole system just really got messed up, all right. She got healed. She was ministered to. She got healed. So she just understood divine healing, studied divine healing, ministering divine healing to people. Then she and her sister, herself and her sister, got this home, all right. So it turned into like a healing home. But this is what they do: they get cases that the doctors have condemned to die, bring these cases into their homes, and say to these people, "As long as you are awake, speak Matthew 8:17." What does Matthew 8:17 say? Himself took my infirmities, carried away my sicknesses. Listen, they tell the people, "As long as you are awake." So that means if they are awake 10 hours, it means please on that, because you who are still not condemned to death and all, we, you know, every day we're busy gallivanting and we just give 30 minutes. Well, 30 minutes is even fine. 3 minutes, 2 minutes. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. By, man, I've said a lot today. You've not even said like 15 seconds. Can we get real, guys? You've not said 15 seconds. Yet again, you were very, very religious, all right, with taking your pills, morning dosage, afternoon dosage, night dosage. You were very religious. You didn't skip a bit. You didn't skip a dosage. You did that every day. But then to stay with God toward morning, noon, night, it's like, no, it's, listen, it's where we put our attention, it's where we prioritize. Please understand how it works. You have to take your meds. And by meds, I mean your meditation. Take your meds. Take your daily meds, your spiritual meds. Give attention. Joshua was going to have to lead them into the inheritance. God said, meditate. 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 This book of the law will not depart. Meditate. This is what we're going to do to fill your heart. Release from your mouth what you are feeling in your heart. Maintain aggression. Maintain your foot no matter how contrary the evidence or the circumstances. Put your foot down. Is that all right? This will really like help you. Amen. All right. So in closing, I want to say something. Now, since last week, we've all been asked to listen to a particular Reverend Hagen message. All right. I want you to give it attention, because I've taught over the years a place of faith and fellowship. Your faith would not work effectively outside your being led by the Spirit of God. I've had a time in my life where I released my faith for some finance. I was about to leave the house, and the Holy Ghost told me, hold on. I stayed back. It wasn't up to 20 minutes. Someone came, chatted with me for a while, gave me an envelope, walked away, said it just came to give me that. I opened the money. I mean, it was, you know, some good money that I expected. I had released my faith for money. Now I could have left and say, well, wherever I go, the money will come and look for me. If that's not God's agenda, then that you're going to miss it. Let's not become unnecessary careless in the name of faith. All right? Couldn't God have kept baby Jesus and made sure that there were like 55 million angels all around that house, so no matter how many people King Herod sent, they will never see the baby. They won't even get to get close to it. They can't kill anybody. And as they get close, they just all get supernaturally slaughtered or blind or something. God could have done that. But God said, get the baby and get out of here. So you have to understand the leadings of the Spirit in the use of your faith. Please, I beg you, as I close this evening, listen to that message and take notes. Please, don't just say I'm playing it. Things are dropping. Things will drop, but give attention. All right? When I say take notes, I've said that before in the Jebu Church. I don't mean, you know, you naturally have to be a stenographer. But maybe there are like 15 points God will have you pick from that message. Write them out. So please take notes. Just write down those things that come to your heart. Let's act on them. All right. Please, let's act on them. There's the importance of learning the place of being led by the Spirit in making your faith work. All right. So please take notes. Take note of these things. Listen to this teaching over and over between now and Sunday morning service. Please, as in, please. All right. Encourage your friends, your church friends, just guys, make we hear this thing. Just listen, take notes, and let's act upon this. All right. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you All right. Because we grow in the knowledge of the things that you've made available for us. We increase in grace and capacity. We thank you. We thank you. I speak blessings to everyone hearing. I speak increase and great favor, great grace made available to you. And I declare, all right, that you would enjoy all that's available for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. So have a very, very beautiful evening. We'll see you on Sunday. Yep. Bye. There is